Our text this morning is taken from Luke chapter 10. It's the account of the Good Samaritan. And a lot of times, the most familiar texts are the hardest to preach on. So, that's kind of why I took this one. And what we're going to be looking at is, who is my neighbor? Good question. Who is my neighbor? And there's a insert in your bulletin. You can fill in the blanks and follow along as I preach this morning. Would you stand with me as we read the gospel lesson this morning from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25, in honor and reverence to God and to His Word. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Father in heaven, I thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would be our teacher once again today, that you would lead and guide us into all truth, that you would open our hearts and minds to be receptive to your word and to your spirit today. And Father, we're so thankful we have this privilege to worship you, because you alone are worthy of praise and glory and honor. And Father, now I ask that you would anoint me with your spirit. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Over in Matthew 20, talks about being a servant. Matthew 20, 25 through 28, it says this. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." If you want to be great in God's kingdom, be a servant. Be a servant. It says here, an expert of the law wanted to test Jesus. And he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And that's usually what we look at in this text. I want to tell you today that salvation is not based on works. It's not on the helping of this man that was robbed and beaten. Salvation is based on knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And eternal life comes that way for us. There's no other way but through the cross and through Christ to have eternal life. But this man was testing Jesus. And Jesus replied to him, "What is written in the law? And how do you read it?" he asked. And of course, the expert's response was, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus commended him and said he answered correctly and told him to do this and you will live. But the expert wanted to justify himself. And he asked this question, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus went on to tell about the Good Samaritan. And now, a Samaritan was a native of Samaria, one that was ready and generous to help those in distress. However, the Jewish interpretation of neighbor excluded Samaritans and Gentiles. So the Jews would not consider you and I a neighbor. We were excluded. And the Samaritans were also called half-breeds. They were Jewish and Samaritan. And at the time of the captivity into Assyria, the Samaritans were not taken, only the Jews. And the Samaritans were very religious people. And many of them had a great relationship with God. And then it says in our text, a certain man, he was a Jew. A certain man, a Jew. He was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, which is about 19 miles. This road was rocky and desolate. It was notorious for having thieves or robbers at the time and for the ages to come. And even to this day, it's considered a very rugged road. This Jew fell into the hands of the robbers. It says they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And then there were three people that passed by that day. First of all, a priest traveling down the same road. He'd probably finished serving his time at the temple and was in a hurry to get home. It says here he saw the man and passed by on the other side. I don't believe he even paused to stop at all. He just glanced at him, walked by. The second, a Levite, traveling down the same road. He'd probably also finished serving his time on temple duty, preparing for the morning and evening feasts or sacrifices. And he probably was in a hurry to get home as well. But it says he saw the man. One account says he looked on him and then he passed by. So that means that the Levite might have paused for just a little bit, looked at this man laying there, and then passed by. Interesting. Contrary to the law, which required the opposite treatment. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 22, verse 4. If you see your brother's donkey or his ox fallen on the road, do not ignore it. Help him get him on its feet. Also in Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5. If you come across your enemies, listen to that word, enemies, ox, or donkey, wandering off, be sure to bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help him with it. You know, it's much easier to help people we know, right? But we're talking about an enemy and somebody who hates you. And also, listen to this. Compare Isaiah 58, verse 7. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and do not turn away from your own flesh and blood. This certain man, a Jew, was naked, and the other Jews, the priest and the Levite, did contrary to what the law required of them. They knew better, but they didn't stop. They disobeyed God's laws. And then we see a Samaritan, one who was excommunicated by the Jews, synonymous with the word heretic or devil, and hated by the Jews. Here's a Samaritan now, hated by the Jews. The first thing we see is that it was inconvenient. The Samaritan traveling down the same road saw the man and had compassion on him and tears, giving this Jew something from himself. When you show somebody compassion, you're showing something of yourself, something that's within you. My wife, Chris, who's been a nurse for years, says it's important, you got to have a degree, right? And you got to have some paper on the wall. But most of all, you need to have a heart of compassion for people. That's the important thing. And if you're not moved by somebody that's hurting or somebody that has died, you better check your heart again. I remember an older pastor tell me, he said, when you stand, Dale, by a casket, and you're not moved by that, maybe it's time you take a break. We should be moved with compassion. The Samaritan was moved with compassion. You know, he could have said, he's a Jew who would have no dealings with him, John 4, 9. And why should I care about him? They wouldn't care about me. The Samaritan was going somewhere, possibly on business, and this would be very inconvenient. The second thing we see is that it was messy. It says he used his own wine and oil. The wine was used to cleanse the wound. The oil was used to soothe the pain. And then he bandaged him up. Maybe he had to tear up some of his own clothes to bandage him. He was a bloody mess because he was beaten and he was left half dead. Terrible looking situation. I want to ask you something. You ever changed a messy diaper? Who Who hasn't? Huh? Some of you guys bail out of that or what? I didn't get by with that. They're smelly, right? And the baby loves nothing more than to get the diaper changed and get a clean, dry diaper on, right? And probably he or she'll stop crying, too. But get the point, somebody has to do it, right? It happened to be that the Samaritan had to do this. Third, it was costly. The Samaritan put the Jew on his own beast, and he walked alongside it. Now, he could have been very selfish and left the guy there and rode on his own beast, right? But he put him on his beast, and he walked on foot. It was a sacrifice. And he took him to an inn. And it says he paid 2 silver coins or 2 pence, which was equal to 2 days of a laborer and enough for several days of support. Plus, he would pay any additional expense when he returned. It cost him a great deal to help this Jew. Now let's relate this. Let's relate the story of the Good Samaritan to bringing people to Christ. Are you willing to be inconvenienced? Taking time out of your schedule to help someone? It may mean you have to interrupt your busy schedule, taking time to help somebody. And you know what? We don't like to be inconvenienced today. We have our agendas. We have so many things we want to do and to get done in this day. We have our lists, right? We're very selfish people. Are you willing to be inconvenienced to help someone? Second, are you willing to deal with a mess, either physically or emotionally or spiritually, getting your mind, heart and hands involved? Sometimes helping people, even new Christians, can be messy. Sometimes they come with a lot of baggage, like alcohol or drug addiction, marital, financial problems, etc. We need to seek the direction of the Holy Spirit and God's Word as how we can help them. People can be very messy and very messed up. Are you willing to deal with that? It's not always very pleasant. Are you willing to pay the cost, making a personal financial sacrifice? That is what the Samaritan did for the Jew. Come alongside someone, we may have to make many personal sacrifices. We may have to buy a meal, buy groceries or clothing, pay a bill, drive someone someplace, take them to a medical center, whatever the need is. And I want to ask you, this is worth it if we can be hands and feet of Jesus in their lives. You're probably going to be the only Jesus with flesh on in their life. It can be costly, inconvenient, messy, and costly. I'll never forget one of the greatest lessons I've learned, and if I've told it here before, you forgot it anyway. I learned my greatest lesson from my dad before he was saved. We were at Country Kitchen in Hillsboro. It's no longer a Country Kitchen anymore. I don't know what it is. But there were 4 of us that sat down, my brother, myself, a good mechanic friend, a diesel mechanic friend of ours, and my dad. And the country kitchen was the Greyhound bus depot, where they dropped off people and picked them up. Well, they just dropped off some people, and there was a man that we were sitting on one side, and then there was another table right across the aisle from us. And a man came in. He had gray hair. It was oily and greasy. He smelled like he hadn't showered for days. And he sat down there. And he'd gotten a cup of coffee and a cookie or something. And then he began to beg because he didn't have the money to pay for that. It was pretty pitiful. But my buddy and my brother and I, we kind of made light of it. Of this guy joking around. It wasn't kind. And I'll never forget that day, as long as I live. We were going to leave, and this guy was still begging. The three of us got out before my dad got out. And when dad got out, he went by that table and he just grabbed the slip, went up front, and paid for it. He never said one word, but it spoke volumes to me to this very day. And the scripture says, if you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. That day he might have done it unto Jesus. I don't know. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Do not withhold good from the deserving when it is within your power to do so or to act. If you have the ability to do good, you better do it. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us or motivates us, because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You know, when it comes to helping somebody like this Jew, it's only the love of Christ permeating through us that motivates us to do something. And when we consider what Christ has done for us, what does it say? What does it say? That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him. Who are you living for? I have to admit, sometimes far too often I've lived for Dale in situations like this. I should be living for Christ. Jesus asked the expert of the law, which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert replied, the one who had mercy on him. The Samaritan was the neighbor, not the priest, not the Levite. The Samaritan. He was the neighbor. Proverbs 14:21. And listen closely to this verse. He who despises his neighbor sins. Did you get that? He who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. It's sin not to help that neighbor. Listen to James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us to do something, we better do it, or we're committing sin. And then we become answerable to God. Friends, today, and who is my neighbor? The one who has shown mercy. The one who has compassion on others. One who is motivated by the love of Christ and willing to be inconvenienced, to deal with the messy, and to pay the price because it's costly. Are you willing to be that person? Why? So that that person might come to know Christ. That's why. And that soul is worth more than the whole world. Don't ever forget it. May we be faithful to the Word of God and to the Spirit of the living God in all that we do. And may He alone get the glory. Father in heaven, thank you for this time we've had today to look into your word. Search our hearts, God, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting, Lord. Father, we praise you. We give you thanks today. Above all, for Jesus, who loves us and cares for us. In Jesus' name, amen.